talking about something that affects so many people, but that nobody wants to talk about: pornography. Speaking to individuals trying to stop looking at porn, and to spouses looking for support.
This is Danny and Lindsay Pullman, a married couple who have been through this together. We're sharing a mix of our personal experiences, our experience as certified life coaches, and other empowering ideas.
We hope this can help you on your journey.
Enjoy! Hey everyone, how's it going today? It's Lindsay and Danny Pullman here.
What's up, guys?
Today we're talking to you about self-care. And before you think to yourself, oh, I got this, I know what self-care is. It's taking baths and taking long, luxurious naps and getting manis and pedis. And that's why I'm struggling so much with quarantine, because I can't go do that right now. We have some information for you that's pretty awesome.
Yes, we do. So, first of all, let's talk about making me laugh. Let's talk about why self-care, right? Like, why talk about self-care? Why do we need to do it? Or we don't need to do it, do we? I don't know. Why would we want to do it? Do we have to do it? And what's the purpose of it? So let's talk about this.
All right. Well, before we talk about why, we're going to tell you a story. I think I've told Danny this story before, but I told him again right before we recorded the podcast, and he was like laughing so hard. He's like, you have to share that. But basically, when Danny got sick about 4.5 years ago, and, you know, his mental illness came to a head and he stopped working and was non-functioning, I think I actually did go to a therapist pretty early on. Like, I just, you know, found someone that my insurance covered or whatever. And I went to this girl, and she was younger. She's probably I bet she was older than me. But anyway, I went to this girl, and I just kind of like, you know, offloaded on her, told her everything that was going on. And she looked at me and was like, at the end of the session, was just like, so what can you do to take care of yourself between now and the next session? And I just looked at her. And in my head, I was like, what is she talking about? Like, my husband is sick. He's not functioning. Like, he has anxiety. We have these doctor's appointments. Like, what? Why is she talking about me here? Like, I need to know how to help him, right? And I remember asking her, like, what can I do to help him? And I asked for, like, some anxiety tools and skills and things like that. And I didn't go back to her because I was like, she obviously doesn't get it. She obviously doesn't know what I need. Oh, and funny. I know, it's so
she
funny.
She might have been a really great therapist.
I know, right? Anyway, so I was just like, she doesn't get it. And I didn't go back to her. And now with my perspective, I'm like, oh my gosh, she totally gets it. Because before all this thought work stuff and before all this, if you, like, for any of my clients who are struggling with, you know, like with any trauma with regard to stuff going on in their marriage, like one of the first most foundational things we can do for ourselves is emotional regulation and learning how to take care of ourselves and be connected to ourselves. And this is where the self-care comes in and why it is so important, because it's, to me, it's like the necessary first step towards getting everything that you are wanting in your life. And to me, self-care is the fuel that gives you everything you need so that you can do everything you're wanting to do, you know, in a specific week or month or year or day.
I love that. Yeah, it's like our bodies are the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And if we maintain it, take care of it, we can use that machine to do all these things.
Right.
But then if we don't, then we can't do all the things we want to do or help all the people we would like to help.
Yeah,
in the way
sure.
that we want to.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. I love that.
So whoever you are out there, old therapist of mine, you had it right.
Yes, you did. Thank you. For me, I think I didn't even realize that I wasn't taking care of myself until things just became unmanageable for me. And, you know, my hands were shaking. My body was letting me know, like, you're not taking care of yourself. Because I didn't even know until I started learning about this and identifying just all the patterns I did have where I was thinking, I'm not worth it, not worth the time or the money to take care of myself. And even though, you know, I was eating healthily, I was at a healthy weight, I was working out, but then there were other signs that basically led me to have to deal with some things. But yeah, why self-care? We talked about that. Here's some other signs that you might not be taking care of yourself in some way, okay? That might help you to tune into that. It could be that you're engaging in some habit against it that feels like it's against your will, that you don't want to be engaged in.
Which could be pornography, food, video games. What other examples?
Shopping.
Shopping.
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
Anything, any habit that you feel like you want to control better, but are having a hard time controlling it.
It could be just like how you react to, you know, to your kids or things like that. Just any habitual thing that's not serving you.
Yeah. Okay. Another sign, it could be that you're having trouble keeping commitments to yourself. This might be a sign. Or maybe you're not able to create or move toward a result that you want for yourself in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, maybe you're not healing the way that you'd like to. Or maybe your health is just deteriorating in some way.
Those big words are harder to end. Good job. Just kidding.
Watch it. So anyway, there are other signs too that would be different and unique to the situation. But these are just some ideas for you to check into, right? For my clients, self-care oftentimes is learning to regulate the rest of your life in a more balanced way so that you don't feel that quote-unquote need to turn to porn to escape your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it is for a lot of my clients. All right, so here are some ideas of things that we think are self-care, but sometimes actually aren't. Okay, just think about these and stay with us while we discuss it for a few minutes. So one, with a lot of my clients, looking at porn and masturbating, right? A lot of times that type of activity becomes a thing where they honestly, and I was in the same boat, I think I honestly felt like I can't handle my emotions, and so resorting to that became a thing that felt like, you know what, I need this, and it helps me handle my emotions. It was the belief I had, right? Mm-hmm. And that a lot of my clients have. But the truth is, if I really were to look at it as I eventually did, it doesn't actually help me with my emotions. Usually I was left worse off than before in some way, and I wasn't actually confronting and dealing with what was going on in my life or mm-hmm. in my mind at the time, right? So mm-hmm. that's an example. And then, yeah, sometimes buying something for ourselves, we think that's self-care, right. But it's not always, because if you're overspending and not taking care of your money and your budget, then it could be the opposite.
Yeah, so there can be like a net negative effect. Like you might, you know, say you buy like this brand new car, you know, and it's really fun for like 2 weeks, but then when the car payment comes every month, it's not as much fun anymore. And so the thing is, there's nothing wrong with buying a new car and having a car payment. It's just, you know, what is your thinking going into it, right? Like if it becomes this big, huge thing to have a car payment every month, maybe there is a net negative effect. And so, you know, just keep in mind, like typically with these things that we like overindulge in, or we over, you know, like overeating or over shopping or over Netflixing, it's like there's a stronger hit, a more concentrated hit in the beginning, but then sometimes there's a net negative effect because of what comes, you know, minutes, hours, days after.
Yeah, that net negative thing is a really good criteria to use as you're looking at things to decide if it is really self-care for you. Is does it have a net positive effect on my life or a mm-hmm. net negative, right? Because if it's a net negative, then it's a good sign that it might not actually be caring for yourself,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Okay, other things. Sometimes we think a spa day or a massage is automatically self-care, right? But, you know, sometimes that's not. Sometimes we're withdrawing from the real self-care items in our lives, whether it's an important priority or goal we have, and spending time doing this instead, right? It doesn't mean that it can't be. It can be an amazing way to take care of yourself.
And I think it really goes into how you're thinking about it, right? Like you, if you're like taking care of yourself and this is one way to show that, and you go in and you're like in that space, massage spa days can be awesome, you know? But I also know people who like where they feel like the massage, almost like getting a weekly massage, it's almost like, you know, soothing the symptoms of what's going on instead of figuring, like, getting to the root of what could be going on emotionally, right? That's not always the case, right? Some people just love them and they feel amazing. And, you know, for other people, it might be something where they're just trying to put a Band-Aid on some other stuff that they're not working through. So right, it's going to be different for everybody, and only you know how this stuff is serving you.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I love massages.
Me too.
And I would love some more spa days in my life too. So. Me too.
Yeah, okay. Other things, watching sports or Netflix, right? It could be having a big yummy milkshake. Maybe you sit out of something, right? A little extra time on that video game. It can be so many things that are just worth looking at, right? One thing that's really interesting is quitting, right? Sometimes I think we quit in the name of self-care.
Oh, that's
right?
A good one.
And quitting initially can feel so, like, relieving and mm-hmm. awesome when you do it. And it can be, I know at times in my life I've mistaken that for, like, oh, this is a good thing.
Yeah,
this is really good for me to quit.
I think we should give an example of, like, quitting something where it's, like, disguised and sounds really pretty in the beginning, but then it doesn't ultimately lead us to a place where we feel that great. Can okay. you think of anything off the top of your head?
A specific one? I don't really have one prepared.
So, well, let's think. Let's say that I set some sort of, like, let's say I, like, sign up for, like, a race or something like that, and I'm super stoked about it, and then, you know, maybe I start getting nervous about how I'm going to, like, perform at the race, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it, and I get kind of scared. Sometimes when, like, that, if that were to happen, my brain might start looking for, like, other, like, outs, easy outs for me that sound really pretty. Oh, your kids really need you that week, or this is coming up. I'm not saying it's, again, this is such a unique circumstance and it's going to be unique to you. So there might be weeks where you do decide to quit a race because of something your kids need, and that's totally fine too. But just being on to yourself when it's your lower brain just trying to get you out of something and making it sound really pretty can be, like, some of the best work that you do for yourself, right? So, you know, it might be like, oh, but your kids have a school report that week, and this is also going on, and you might do this. Maybe you should just stay home. So just be willing and open to separating it. Like, is this coming up because of my fear? And am I just, like, scared of my fear and, like, disguising it as this, like, pretty way to not do something? Or is this, you know, do I really actually, like, when I look at my priorities, maybe I really do want to be there for that school thing or for my husband's work thing?
Yeah, that's good. Something I thought of is, for members of the Church of Jesus Christ, like us, a lot of times we're focused on following the Spirit, right? And we check in to try to recognize promptings and feelings that might be from the Spirit. But I've definitely had times in my life where I quit from something. I was thinking about, you know, backing out of something that mm-hmm. was big and confronting me. Mm-hmm. And I had that awesome feeling of relief.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I mistook it for the Spirit. I really think I did. I've done this on different occasions in my past as I've looked at it. But that's just something to think about. Like, sometimes as church members, we might even think, like, oh, no, the Spirit is telling me to stop. But what if you're sometimes mistaking that, and it's not actually the Spirit, and just some of those amazing feelings that can initially come from quitting that feel so relieving and even peaceful, right?
Yeah, and so we're not telling you what's happening to you. We're just expressing stuff that we've experienced for ourselves, and maybe, you know, for some of you, you can kind of open up to that idea, like, huh, maybe. Like, what if that's happening more than I think?
Yeah. And right? as you start looking at these things, what an important consideration is, real self-care is going to stem from love, right? Love is where you have your long-term best interest at heart. It follows through on commitments. Love feels amazing too. And mm-hmm. and even though love is, you know, sometimes it has sort of a frou-frou reputation, I guess. At the same time, love is really strong and powerful and inspiring. Right? So start looking at what you do to take care of yourself. And do you do it out of love, or do you do it out of something else, like fear? An example of this for me lately has been I'm really good at working out regularly, and I do a lot of running and a lot of yoga and swimming, and I like mixing other stuff in there too. And I do it 6 to 7 days a week. Every week is what I've done for a while now. But then I had this back injury a month and a half or two ago, and it's changed my capacity to do those things, and I've had to sit out of them and change my approach. And it was really frustrating at first, but it's ended up being a good experience for me, because what I realized is I was doing a lot of that working out of fear. Okay. On the one hand, I like how I feel better when I work out, and I like how it affects my body. But then on the other hand, I think I was scared that I'd fall back into old undesirable habits if I don't continue this and keep up this habit, because I thought that working out was part of the solution to that. And then I had to remind myself, okay, it's not the working out, it's the thinking. It's not the actions of exercising that helps me to stick to my commitments to myself. It's how I think about it. It's my relationship with myself. And it's been a really good experience for me, because I was able to step away from the working out for long enough to realize, you know what? Maybe I can approach this with more love and do it because I want to and want to care about myself, rather than being scared that I'm going to lose control or mess up in some way if I don't keep doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because I've totally worked out of fear instead of love for myself. And that shift has been so powerful, because when it is out of fear out of what will happen if I don't, then that's not a sustainable, yes, I might continue to work out, but I'm not thinking in a way that's making it sustainable. I might be using more willpower to get the workouts in instead of thinking in a way so that I more naturally get those workouts in.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay. So one thing I like to think about is the way that I love my kids, right? So here's a list of things I do because I love my kids. And as you listen to this, it's helpful to think about how you love someone else and the things you would do for them and why. And then kind of ask yourself, am I willing to do the same thing for myself, right? Okay, so because I love my kids, I don't let them eat only candy for dinner, right?
Boring.
Or as much sweets as they want. I help them go to bed at a consistent time. I punish them for hitting each other if needed, right? There are consequences. I reward them for doing hard things that are in their best interest. I help them to be active, right? Get that exercise. I don't let them run around with knives.
Aw, that's so nice of you.
And, I mean, running around with knives, you could say that, looking at porn or some of the other activities we engage in as habits, you can almost say that that's letting yourself running around with a knife, right? Because of that net negative effect. It's actually a harmful thing that...
Well, and I think the voice, it's almost that lower brain part is almost operating like a 2-year-old with a knife.
Yeah.
And we listen to it. We totally do. Whether it's with pornography or... other things that we know we don't want in our lives in the long term, but in the short term, it's okay, we just give in to the moment. But
yeah, and that's kind of where that came from, because I do like the example of thinking about the lower brain as a toddler running around with a knife. Okay, another thing I do because I love my kids is I literally have stuck my hands through crap to help them keep themselves clean, change their diapers, right? There are a lot of us that have done this. Are you willing to stick your hands through crap, metaphorically, for yourself, right? Sometimes you got to face the crap in your life and face the crappy feelings, face the mess in your mind for long enough to clean it up, right? Are we willing to do that? I clean up nasty vomit that almost makes me throw up every time.
That's true.
Let's move on before I dry heave. I help them practice swimming when they're scared and don't want to, right? I kind of push them through that a little bit. I teach them how to clean up after themselves.
When they're tired, I like that.
I'll skip a few of these. I rearrange my schedule for them, right?
We do a lot. We're all doing a lot of that these days,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, but then the question is, like, do you rearrange your schedule for yourself? I like that one for me. I spend a lot of money on their schooling, training, learning, right? Mm-hmm. Am I willing to spend a lot of money on my learning and training?
Mm-hmm.
I sit with them and help them work through their feelings, right? Do I do that for myself? I try to be patient with their mistakes, and I recognize them as part of their learning process, that they're right where they need to be in their learning. Do I do that same thing for myself? I prioritize them, right? I have their backs. Do I prioritize myself? Do I have my own back? So I really like this exercise of going through how you love someone else and asking if you do it for yourself.
Right, because we all, like a lot of us know, like the best way to take care of people that we love is to give them our time and energy. So the question is, are we affording that for ourselves, right? Like, is your life going the way you want it to be going? Or do you kind of feel like you're living a reactive life and you're kind of just like on autopilot, right? So a lot of us haven't even been present with ourselves enough to recognize like how much we're not making ourselves a priority or how much we're not listening to ourselves, right? And so like, if we were willing to give ourselves enough attention and just sit and see what it is that we want, like, what do you want, right? And so I think one quick exercise that you can do for yourself is to just like write down your top three priorities that you have in your life, top three, top five priorities, whatever works for you. And when you write them down, like write down what they are and then do a time journal of what you did yesterday, okay? And see if they reconcile, right? Like most people, if you ask them their, you know, top three priorities, they'd say health, family relationships, and something else, right? But when you look back at what you did the day before, how much time did you intentionally spend taking care of your health and your well-being? How much time did you spend, you know, developing and like honing in on those relationships with those people that you love? Versus, you know, letting work life bleed into your family life, right? And so this isn't like a, you know, this isn't an exercise for you to judge yourself. It's just an exercise to become aware and to recognize like, huh, this totally is what I want. This doesn't reconcile. What can I learn from this?
Yeah, I'd pipe in here just with this exercise. When you look at it and look at how much time you spend on these priorities, it's not necessarily that your top priority is going to have the most time devoted to it, right? That's not what this is about. Like, because there are some guys or girls who they need to work to provide for their family, right? Yeah. So if you look at the day before, you might have spent most of your time doing that. But then if you really look at it, that could be maybe categorized as you taking care of your family too.
Yeah. Right?
But yeah, it just depends. And it's more a question of like, let's just look at it and see how much time we are spending on it, and do we like that amount of time for the results that we're going for, right?
Right. And also I think too, like, maybe it can be more not about like exactly how much time you spend doing the thing, but like how committed are you to following through with whatever time you plan to, you know, you plan to spend doing that thing, right? Like, maybe I set up, you know, when I set up my weeks, like I've noticed for me, it took a while for me to get comfortable with scheduling my work, or not my work, scheduling my workout time and my family time first. It's like, I don't know why. I mean, I know a little bit why. Like, I come from an accounting background, and like, a lot of that mentality, I think, still feeds into my programming, which I own as an adult. But like, it's really hard for me to schedule my workouts first and to schedule my family time first, like first or second.
What's the mentality that came from the accounting background that you're talking about?
Well, the accounting, so I like was in tax accounting. So the account, like, you know, again, this is what I pulled from it. So I'm not going to say everyone feels this way, but you know, in the public accounting field, you know, I worked for Deloitte and Touche in downtown LA for about 3 years. And it was like, basically busy season, you give your life to accounting, and then off busy season, that's when you take care of yourself. So it's like your hours, well, not your hours, but that's kind of what I took, is like, I am like, everything, work is number one for 6 to 8 months of the year. And then the other 2 to 4 months, like that's when I take care of myself. But I think a lot of us do that. Like, even if we were to say, like, if I were to put that onto like a week, we might do that within a week, right? Like this entire day, this, all these things need to happen. I don't need to take care of me, right? And so shifting, basically for me, just to shift from like this work first, health second mentality to health, family first, and work second mentality, it has been a shift for me. But I, you know, I just notice it with my thinking, and I can, it helps me to like practice doing it and being extra committed to, it's almost like, it's, to me, it's more about committing to follow through with those priorities and how much time exactly I'm spending doing those things.
How has that shift affected your work and productivity?
Oh my gosh, you guys, I am like, I would say I'm like two or three times more productive.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So because I know, because I really believe, and my coach has helped me believe this for myself, that my, me taking care of myself, literally, like, that is the fuel to help me do all the other things in my life and that I want, that I also want to be doing. And, you know, basically, like, taking that time to plan and take care of myself really helps me to, like, follow through with that, especially when I am thinking in a way that helps me to sustainably do it.
Yeah. To me, watching, observing as your husband, it seemed like you hiring a coach for you to work on some of this stuff, like, really helped you take a big step in this area. Is that true?
Oh yeah, for sure. Because I definitely, like, the commitment to self stuff was a little bit, it was harder. It was really easy for me for a long time to like set up my calendar and like set up my calendar. But then anytime anything came up, I was like, oh, that's out the window because this happened. And when you think about it, like if you, you know, had a meeting with like the CEO of this, your dream company, like you would make that meeting happen no matter what. Like you would just make it happen unless, you know, like maybe something huge, huge, huge. But like, what if we're the CEO of our bodies? You know, how are we taking, how are we showing up for those appointments that we set for ourselves? Are we making it a priority? Right?
Yeah. Like if I had a lunch appointment with Rudy Gobert or Donovan Mitchell on the Utah Jazz, like, I, there's no way I would miss that appointment, right? Yeah. But then when it comes to my own stuff, like, do I treat my planned time to self-coach or my planned time to sleep or exercise or eat healthily, do I treat it with that same level of commitment and even excitement?
Yeah, right? And, like, I, like, want my kids to see that this stuff really is important to me, the way I take care of myself, because, you know, I can tell my kids till they're blue in the face that they're worth it and that they, you know, to take care of their bodies and do all the things. But if I'm not able to do that for myself, like that's what they're seeing. Right. And, you know, they still have their agency and they still make their choices and stuff. But I just really want to be an example for myself of what's possible, but also an example for my children too.
Awesome. So something I would add here, or did you finish talking about the exercise?
Oh, no. Yeah. Basically just with that exercise, just kind of like be open to, you know, if that's, if things aren't reconciling, maybe just ask yourself why. And, you know, step back and see like what, if I want to adjust something here, what could I adjust? So, yeah.
Okay. So as you approach this, be careful. Okay. Because there's some sneaky things that can happen. A lot of times we think, I need to do this self-care to get to my goal. And then when I get to my goal, then I'll approve of myself and love myself, right? But if we approach self-care from the place of disapproval or self-loathing or whatever it is,
you're not,
yeah, we've both been there. I was so good at this for so long. If you approach it that way, you're not going to follow through with your self-care in a sustaining way, okay? So just be aware of that. A lot of us think that we need to hate ourselves into changing our habits, but it just doesn't work, okay? Check if you're doing this, because that's the sneaky part, right? Sometimes it sounds so lovely, like, no, I'm changing my habits so I can become awesome, right? It sounds cool.
Yeah.
But what if you're already awesome, right? What if you already are and you're already lovable and worthy and you get to just change your habits because it's what you want and you do it from a place of power and in a way that's sustainable, right?
Yeah, and if you're having a hard time like getting that compassionate place, sometimes asking these questions to like a child version of yourself, or how would you handle this conversation with a kid? You're going to be worth it once you finish that race, or once you get into dental school. Like, that's not what you would say to your child. Maybe some of you it would, but for the most part, you'd be like, no, you're fine. Like, you're already fine. Like, everything's fine. Right? And so what if you turn that on yourself? Like, what if you are already fine and you're exactly where you need to be? And, you know, what if nothing has gone wrong and you are exactly where you need to be? And now that you see that there's more that you're wanting, you're just shifting in that direction from a loving, accepting place.
That's awesome. Yeah. A big shift for me came when I felt like I had the tools and the power to keep pouring out of my life. But then I was at this point where I wasn't like enjoying my real life without porn the way that I wanted to. And
I remember
it was
that
kind of a drag, because I was like, maybe part of me is like, maybe life with that occasional porn is actually better, you know, but that wasn't helping me with my goals. And a big shift came for me. I remember doing this exercise. I was like, for some reason, it really helped to do this with my son, because he's like a young boy, right?
He's so cute.
And he's amazing. And just to go through and talk about how I loved my son and why, and how I would respond with him in times where he makes mistakes. And I just like made a list of how I love my son, because I love him so much. And then I looked at the list as like, how can I see myself this same way? And I started practicing that, and I started enjoying my life more. It's funny. I started enjoying my life more the less I hated myself. Isn't that weird? but it was an awesome shift for me, and a really good exercise to go through. So, and then just remember, like, what we have to offer you is we can teach you a framework to change your thought patterns, and not trying to force new thoughts. Like, you can't just jump to I love me no matter what. Like, sometimes that's too big a jump, right? But there really is a powerful process and framework to this, and skills and tools available to help navigate through this kind of thing. So if you find yourself getting stuck, there's so much awesome help available.
There is, yeah. So if you want to talk to us, you can, in the show notes, you can go to our websites, and there are links there to, you know, learn more, you know, sign up for a consult with us to work with either of us more directly, because this stuff totally works. Like, it totally works.
It just does. Simple as that.
All right. Take care, my friends. Have a wonderful week. Talk to you later.
See you later. Thanks for listening.
If you're ready to get unstuck, move forward, or just feel better about your life and marriage, please reach out to us, whether it's for both of you or just yourself. You'd be surprised how much progress can be made in your marriage even if one of you works on the relationship. Don't wait for someone else to make things better for you.
For more information, or to find out what it would be like to have a coach, visit our websites, lindsaypullman.com and dannypullman.com. Make sure you spell Pullman, P-O-E-L-M-A-N. For freebies or other guides mentioned, check out the show notes.
And to our current clients, we love you, and thank you for letting us be a part of your hero's journey.